Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Christensen. If you want to track us down, check us out at reallifepharmacology.com. Definitely take advantage of that free 30-plus page PDF on the top 200 drugs if you're studying for pharmacology or just looking to pick up some clinical practice pearls. Definitely go snag that PDF for free at reallifepharmacology.com. And we'll also get you updates as far as when we have new podcasts available. So the drug I'm going to cover today is a combination product that I am seeing periodically now: fluticasone, umeclidinium, and vilanterol is the combination. So this is an inhaled medication primarily for the use of COPD. It's a combination medication, obviously. It's got three different drugs. So the fluticasone is an inhaled corticosteroid, umeclidinium is a long-acting anticholinergic, and vilanterol is a long-acting beta-2 agonist. Okay, so one of the big clinical advantages with this medication is it's dosed once a day, and we've got three medications within it. Now, that can be a good and a bad thing. Obviously, the once daily is a huge advantage for patients. It's a very convenient thing to use. You can factor it into your daily routine versus a medication that, you know, you maybe do two or three times a day. That gets a little bit trickier sometimes for some patients to follow that regimen. So more doses you add throughout the day, the more and more likely that you're going to see patients skip doses, miss doses, forget doses, or whatever the case may be there. So this triple therapy combination is a dry powder inhaler. A couple of housekeeping things. Throw away the medication once it's been removed from the foil pouch within 6 weeks, okay? So important to educate patients those. But if we're using it once a day, as we should be, or as the patient is likely instructed to do, we should be out of that medication well before 6 weeks is up there. Also, educate your patients. Keep tabs on the counter on the device. I have definitely seen patients not pay attention to that, and they just start using it, and they don't think about replacing it. And then all of a sudden, oh yeah, my counter's at zero. Okay, well, how many doses have you not gotten? How many days did this go on? And we can look back at refill records and things like that to track that down. But just very, very important education point. Simple and easy, but something a patient might not think about and might forget about. Okay, so let's talk about adverse effects a little bit. Thinking about the mechanism. So the fluticasone, that's going to act on inflammation. Umeclidinium is going to act as an anticholinergic, kind of open up that airway, maybe help dry the airway out, dry up secretions, things of that nature. And then vilanterol, long-acting beta agonists, they're going to act as an agonist on those beta receptors, open up that airway, and allow for easier breathing. And an important education point for patients as well, I think it's common sense to anybody that's worked in healthcare, but for patients it's not, where you've got to recognize that this is not meant for acute relief. And because of the cost of Trelegy-Ellipta, it can potentially have the risk of being rationed by patients because they know it's expensive and, you know, maybe they don't feel like they can afford to purchase it every month or 3 months, however much they're getting in their insurance plan, or if they're paying cash or whatever the case may be. So very, very important to assess some of those issues with that. Now, as I was getting to adverse effects, so inhaled corticosteroid, the first thing I think of is thrush, and we need to kind of flush out or rinse out the mouth after using this medication. So we potentially help reduce the risk of that infection going on. Umeclidinium, that's long-acting anticholinergic. By far, in clinical practice, the most common thing I see with patients is going to be dry mouth. Vilanterol, long-acting beta agonist. You can see some tachycardia, can see some tremor. You know, that tachycardia, that's more on the beta-1 agonist activity side. Probably pretty unlikely in most situations, but do keep it in mind in the odd chance you see a bump in heart rate or you know, a little bit more shakiness or something like that. Most often, I would say, it's when patients are using frequent short-acting beta agonists like albuterol on top of long-acting beta agonists, where I've seen more potential for adverse effects. There are some rare things that you may see in the package insert. On a clinical scale, I mean, they don't rate terribly high on my clinical radar, but something that you may need to think about. So whenever you give a steroid, there is risk for HPA suppression. Again, the systemic absorption you're getting is fairly minimal, and the risk of that is ultimately pretty low with any inhaled corticosteroid in general there. Also, other adverse effects from inhaled steroid, you know, reduced bone mineral density, you know, some of these systemic side effects likely aren't going to be terribly worrisome in a patient that's taking an inhaled corticosteroid. It's something that's on my radar, but, you know, I don't necessarily think too much about it, because patients with, you know, severe COPD on this combination of medications, their breathing is probably way more important than some of the minor risks associated with the adverse effect profile, given how little is going to be absorbed systemically. So let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and we will wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study materials like BCPS, BCACP, MTM certification, ambulatory care, geriatrics, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. In addition, I've had questions on NAPLEX content. We've got the links to our website, RxGrad, there as well. Definitely go check that out if you're a pharmacy student. For other healthcare professionals, we've got professional development type things, and also Audible books, paperback books that definitely teach a lot of clinical pearls and real-world stuff. So definitely go check out all those links and resources and support our sponsor, meded101.com/store. All right, so let's finish up on drug interactions here. With inhaled medications for COPD, for asthma, generally I'm not terribly concerned about drug interactions. With that said, you know, you think of like vilanterol, long-acting beta agonists, you know, we could have that additive effects if we have other medications that can maybe increase that pulse, cause tachycardia. There could be some additive effects from vilanterol there. There could also be opposition from something like a non-selective beta blocker. So, you know, the level of clinical significance can certainly vary. Something to think about, especially if patients are reporting that they're not responding to the medication. Okay, their breathing is getting worse, for example. Those are good situations to stop and say, hey, take a look. What the heck is going on? Is it a drug interaction? Are they taking their medications appropriately? Is this a worsening of their condition? So taking a quick stop and think about what's going on with that patient and what might have caused a worsening of symptoms. Corticosteroids, so inhaled corticosteroids, if you've got patients on immunosuppressants already, you know, that could potentially increase that risk of thrush even further. So things like tacrolimus, cyclosporin, and immunosuppressives like that could increase that risk. Rarely, you know, you may see some alterations in potassium from long-acting beta agonists or beta agonists in general. I would say it is pretty low on my clinical radar, but if you've got a patient on, let's say, thiazide diuretics, loop diuretics, and that potassium is dropping on account of that, you know, beta agonists could, in theory, add to that effect. Again, not real high on my radar, but there is potential as doses of labotherapy increase. It could potentially exacerbate that. And then dry mouth. I think about anticholinergics and having that additive effect. So if you've got a patient on diphenhydramine, hydroxyzine, TCA, any other anticholinergic medication that can cause dry mouth, for example, we could potentially exacerbate that side effect through a drug interaction with umeclidinium. So some things to think about there with drug interactions. I would say, again, not crazy prevalent, but something you should definitely be aware of, keep tabs on, and at least have in the back of your mind there. So if you liked the podcast today, if you picked up a few clinical pearls, definitely go leave us a rating and review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. Share us with a friend, colleague, student maybe that you're precepting. Definitely help them understand medications better and learn from folks who've been there. So thank you so much for listening. Take care. Have a great rest of your day.